At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. As we thrust headlong into a brand new week, it's been a great stretch for us over at jeanspage.com. Hope you guys will come be a part of that. Best portal coverage there is anywhere. And that's a hill that I'll die on for sure. Big Junior Day event over the weekend. We caught up with just about everybody yesterday. Kind of treated it like an official visit weekend. Wanted to go ahead and get you guys the news, man. Got to get you guys familiar with the new recruits. I know many of you got a little recruiting fatigue. You're like, Steve, I'm ready for this portal stuff to end. Of course, Anthony Evans from Georgia, that's basically the lone guy of the known prospects. And I say that because there may be some more guys that become targets as they enter the portal here late. You know, the teams that lost last weekend, of course, have 5 days to make a decision. So there may be some other guys that go in. You know, we still need a corner, obviously. Still need an offensive lineman. And, you know, we're still waiting on Anthony Evans. I'm told the decision could come today, and of course, you know, theoretically it could come any day, but classes start on Wednesday. Today is the opening day of freshman and transfer orientation, and that's a requirement, but you'd like to get those guys here sooner rather than later. Of course, the brand new crop Bulldogs already on campus, kind of getting settled, getting going. It's exciting, but yeah, we're trying to get up to speed and kind of get you guys kind of aware of these new names. I know many of you are just kind of ready for, Steve, I just need a recruiting break. Let me know when somebody commits. I get it. Interesting weekend for basketball over the weekend for Mississippi State. We'll discuss all that today. And, of course, D1 baseball. Preseason baseball poll came out today. We'll talk about that as well. One of the things I want to share with you guys, too, I like to be transparent with you guys because I don't have anything to hide. Yeah, I'm one of those kinds of people that you know, there. Trust me, there are some people in my family that wish I was a little less transparent. But, you know, later this week, I've got to go to a visitation. And, you know, I've had to do that a lot lately. And it's part of life, unfortunately. And one of the things that I struggle with is when young people die. You know, we had the discussion about Luke, the kicker from my hometown, that recently, you know, died on Christmas Eve. Car wreck on his way home to open gifts with his family, man. It's going to mark Christmas for the rest of their lives. I mean, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can say. You just show up there and you hug people and you let them know you love them in times of struggle. But there's a young man that recently took his life. And guys, I was that kid. I was that guy. Now, it happened to me a little bit later. But, you know, I was kind of a troubled teen, too. I didn't always act out. But I was a guy that had you know, some issues. And I want to share with you kind of an embarrassing story. It's so funny how looking back at it, you know, it seemed like such a big deal at the time, right? We didn't have social media back then. You didn't have smartphones. You didn't have to worry about pictures and videos and things like that. And thank God, right? I'm so glad I grew up in an era where we had at least some semblance of privacy. But I was dating this girl. And I was ready to take things to the next level. And back in those days, we didn't text. We didn't have cell phones. Those things didn't exist. I'm from the 1900s. Anyway, I wrote her a letter. So what we did, we passed notes. And I sent her a letter and I told her some things that I wanted to take things to the next level from a physical standpoint. A little bit embarrassing language in there. And as she read the letter in her next class, another guy took the letter away from her. Now, all of a sudden, there's this evidence in my handwriting of me trying to do something that some people would consider inappropriate. I was very inexperienced at the time. And all of a sudden, this guy comes to lunchroom and kind of confronts me and shows me he has a note. And so then you have all these questions about, is this a betrayal? You know, did she give him the note? I find out, of course, that he took it from her. And so all of a sudden, this person has some evidence. you know, that could be, detrimental. Of course, I grew up in the Bible Belt, you know, part of a Levite tribe. You know, you didn't do things like have premarital sex and things of that nature. You didn't do that kind of stuff. But anyway, you know, that was a crisis, man. That was a crisis in my life. And I can only begin to imagine, you know, in the anonymity of the internet today, I'm sure that news would have made it out. Now, the guy that did it, we're friends now. You know, I wouldn't say we're best of friends. He's not a guy that I'm going to call and go have lunch with when I go home. But I go to events down there and I see him, and we always speak and kind of get caught up. But man, when you're a teenager, everything feels like the end of the world. Everything feels like the end of the world. And I cannot even begin to imagine what young people experience today with all the internet and social media and things like that. Because, you know, if we had the internet and social media back then, it wouldn't have just been this discussion between me, this dude, my soon-to-be ex-girlfriend at the time, and then the people he told. Now, she comes to me and says, hey, he took the letter from me, and if you're down to take the next step, I'm down to take the next step. Everything is cool. But I'm upset that he took the letter. So it kind of let me off the hook a little bit, you know, because I felt like, hey, well, you know, nothing else, you know. Everything is good with me and her. And so if it blows up in my face, I mean, there's a lot of worse things you can be known for. But all that I understood, man, the anxiety that went behind wondering if he was going to share this letter with other people, if it was going to be some big deal, does it get back to my family, does it get to the principal, does it get to the teachers? And dude, when you're 15 years old, it feels like your world is ending. And there are many young people today that are having to deal with that on a much grander scale, and I wish that I could take and hug all of those kids worldwide and tell them, it's not always going to be this way. The moment will pass. It's not always going to be this way. And so I want to share this again, because I know we have some young people that listen to the show. And this is not age restrictive. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager in your early 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 90s, whatever. If you are in a bad spot and you feel like the world is caving down around you, dial 988. And if you can't call, you can text 988 and get help. That's a suicide prevention line. I'm a suicide survivor myself. I was a person that was kind of scared to reach out for help. I remember just like it was yesterday. I was laying in my bed. I'd taken some medication that wasn't mine. And also, it wasn't what I thought it was. My heart was about to beat out of my chest because I thought I had taken some pain pills. They were heart medicine. And I was content to lay there and die rather than go to the ER because I didn't want my family to know that I was living a life kind of outside of my upbringing. I didn't want them to know that I was a drug addict. And so I was content to die. And so I share that with you because nothing that you're dealing with today, nothing that you're involved with, is worth your life. Nothing. Nothing is worth your life. No matter what you've done, there's help available. And there are some people out there that have done some horrendous things in their lives. Requires a lot of forgiveness. Requires a lot of amends to be made. But maybe telling a girl that she's cute, or maybe being a little bit odd in high school, is not one of them. You don't owe anybody any explanations, apologies, or amends for being yourself. So be yourself unapologetically. I quit living for other people a long, long time ago. Best decision I ever made. I'm not running for office. I don't need people to conduct an opinion poll about how I should live my life. But I want to share that with you today because I get so incredibly exhausted thinking about how many people are hurt when a person kills himself, especially a young person. And you begin to think, I should have done this, or we should have put him in other schools, or we should have done that. I should have looked at her phone more. Maybe you should. But at the end of the day, when somebody elects to take their life, it leaves a hole that can never, ever, ever be filled. Ever. No matter how long you live, no matter what you do, you always remember those people. And you wish you could have done more. I've dealt with that same survivor's guilt when somebody that I loved elected to take their life. And it stays with me. I get emotional thinking about it. I'm trying to keep it back now. When my friend Grant killed himself, it absolutely rocked me. So I thought, I should have known. I should have stayed in contact more. I should have done this. And it's almost narcissistic in its genesis. But the reality of it is when it's a young person that's involved, you can't treat them like adults and you can't give them autonomy. I'm not here casting blame or anything like that. I'm just telling you, there's so much that happens when you're young. And because, you know, we grew up in a different age, we just say, well, you know, kids are going to be kids, and kids can sometimes be bullies, and sometimes kids can do things that aren't great. They can do things that are hurtful. They can do things that push a classmate over the edge. It's true. So don't just check your kids' phones. Check your kids. Make sure your kids are not participating in that. I'm so grateful to have had the children that I've had. And, you know, I have had some incidences where some people have been cruel to my children in an effort to get to me. And I am of the warrior soul clan. And when you come after the fam, you come after me. And I'm going to come after you. And I don't care who you are. And if they want to put me in jail, they can. But I am not going to allow that. And so I'm going to be careful what I say here. Because again, I don't want to be negative. And I'm not in any way casting blame at anybody. But the reality of it is that we all have to be accountable and hold our children accountable to ensure that they're not out there bullying other children. I know that's not how you raised them. At least I hope it's not how you raised them. You got to love all people. You do. And in times like these, it is a stark reminder that there are a lot of young people, and a lot of people in general, but especially young people, that are kind of coming of age and are having a tough time with it. It's a very difficult thing for a lot of people. So I share that with you because I love each and every one of you. And, you know, I don't want you to have to go sit at a funeral home wondering what if. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I've loved them for a long time. I think I've loved them longer than they love me, but they do love me. Of course, it's on the menu. You get the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. It says it on the menu. So there's some common love and respect between me and Bulldog Burger Company. Have those spring rolls. You'll be glad you did. And get a great restaurant quality hamburger. I've got a hankering for one now. I'm going to be in there this week. I love going in there because of the fact sometimes, too, it ends up lunch becomes dinner, right? Because the portion is so substantial. I can barely put it all away at lunch. So sometimes I'll just, hey, I'm going to eat half of this, cut it in half. I'll bring it home, eat the rest for dinner. I'll ride the rest home. It's true. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get that chocolate shake to ride home with. You can ride that ride with a smile. And maybe you're not feeling like a burger, but everybody else in the group is. There's so many things on the menu. It's a very diverse menu, even though it's a burger joint. A lot of different options for you. And maybe you said, Steve, I don't feel like eating that healthy for lunch, or eating that heavy for lunch, pardon me. You can have the BLT salad. I like it grilled. You may prefer it fried. It's completely up to you. But the reality of it is there's going to be something there that can cure what ails you. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. I want to talk about this Mississippi State men's basketball game. And we're not going to have some big long recap. But the first thing that I want to say about this is we have proven ourselves to be a legit team. This Kentucky team's a good team. They had a great performance by a player that's just been pretty good. And maybe that says something about our perimeter defense a little bit. But one of the things that sucks so much about this is like it's just kind of a reminder we're not exactly quite where we want to be. But that understood, I don't want anybody giving up on this team because of what happened against Kentucky and what may happen against Auburn. You know, we got a difficult stretch here. You know, we got out of the gate with a couple decent games, you know, South Carolina and Vanderbilt. Then you get Kentucky. What, Auburn's number one in the country now? Then you get Ole Miss coming here, and you got to go to Tennessee. So these next 2 weeks, you know, the part of this 2 weeks, next 2 weeks should be big for us. But once we get through that, once we get through Alabama, things kind of even up a little bit. You know, Florida's not going to be any joke either. There are no off nights in the SEC. It's not going to happen that way. But the reality of it is we got a good team. And so this Kentucky game is not going to define us. It's not like they came in here and beat us by 30. It was a 95-90 game, and like all of you, I'm a little sore about it. I didn't think the officiating was bad as some of you did. There were a couple things I thought was a little bit ridiculous, but that's going to be the case in every game. There's always going to be a handful of calls should have gone the other way. There's the human element in every bit of this. I thought one of the most significant points in this game, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way, it's not a hot take. You know, we go down, and then Hobb gets the hits the three and gets fouled in the final seconds of that first half. And you're just sitting there thinking to yourself, you know what, man, we're going to go in here with some juice. We're going to get to the halftime locker room, and we're going to have a great, great opportunity to come out of here and get strong and take control of this ball game in front of a raucous home crowd. Josh makes the four-point play. It's a 46-44 game with 4 seconds to go, and we give up a three-pointer. You know, listen, give Kentucky and Lamont Butler credit, but the guys, that can't happen. That we relaxed, and we have too much leadership to allow that to happen. So instead of you going in down to with the last kiss goodnight of the first half going your way, it goes the other way. So now all of a sudden they hit the locker room and they're like, yeah, ha, 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 Mississippi State. I get it. And it's a great play. And you got to give them all kinds of credit. And went to the game with a friend of mine and turned to him right before the intermission was over. And I said, man, these first 4 minutes of the second half were so important to us. So incredibly important. We come in here and kind of survive their adjustments and put ourselves in a position. You know, we get to the, you know, get through these 4 minutes here and get to the media timeout. We got a chance. And those first 4 minutes of that second half were absolutely dreadful. Absolutely terrible. The exact opposite of what we needed. It's like you had a chance to be down two, and all of a sudden you look up just about a minute in, and you're down 10. It's pretty crazy. And then they just kind of kept going at it. We hit a couple of baskets, kind of made it interesting. But every time that we kind of drew closer, they would make a bit of a run, and great teams always do. Jackson Robinson with that big three-point basket made an 11-point game just under 17 minutes to go in the game. But, again, it just felt like we had so much trouble getting over the hump. As we get under 16, we're down 13 points, and many of you felt like me and said, you know what? This is not going to go the way that we want. The lead swells to 14 points after the free throw was made by Andrew Carr. And it's like, you know what? We're probably going to end up losing this game by about 10 or so. It's not going to work out. That's how it felt at the time. Brendan Garrison's three-point basket matches that of Riley Kugel. You know, just, Riley, of course, a little bit banged up. Had the finger injury and then a leg injury. It looked like it was an ankle injury. If he's healthy in that ball game, it may be a different story. He's had some really big ball games against Kentucky during his career there at Florida. But again, you look up and you're down 14 with 15 minutes to play. And then lo and behold, Cam Matthews. Cam did his best to will us to a win. He hits a little standalone three out there, kind of a set shot. And it kind of sparked the rally. And it wasn't just that. I mean, it felt like Cam was everywhere. There was a defensive rebound. Cam was on it. Hub then hits a three that pulls us to an eight with an eight. And Cam gets loose on a kind of a destiny run to the basket, lays it up and in. Probably should have been a foul call there. All of a sudden, it's a six-point game. Pretty crazy. Claudio Harris. Big three-point basket there. And how big has he been for Mississippi State? Incredible. And then lo and behold, you know, coming out of timeout, you know, they get a layup, push it back out to four. And you think, okay, we've made our run. they'll make theirs and they'll stretch it back out. They get up, you know, get up five here, and then Nwoko with a heave there, thought there should have been a foul call there too. 71-68 game now, three points separate us, and then Melendez hits the three. And I really like R.J. Melendez. Listen, we've had some good players out of the portal come in, and I think Melendez this season has been the most solid contributor for us on both ends of the floor. He hadn't always filled it up on the scoring column, but he's a guy that's always out there getting caught doing the right thing. And lo and behold, what do you know? We give up a layup on the other end, makes it a two-point game. We come down, Melendez misses a three, and we did kind of force some shots, it felt like, here down the stretch. They push it back out to four, and then Cam makes another three. 78-77 game, and then Claudel, again, great effort again by Cam Matthews. I mean, just Cam all of a sudden kind of commanded their attention. So under eight, man, we're up two, and you feel like, you know what, maybe this is going to be a special night in Humphrey Coliseum. And then immediately, they come right back out and push it to six. It's like it took so much out of us. And we made that big run with that hub on the floor. And we got a little foul trouble. And to me, that's the big takeaway here, is that State went toe-to-toe with Kentucky. And not only did Josh Hebert maybe not have a great night, he was limited because of foul trouble. And a couple of those fouls are very ticky-tack. It's true. But, ultimately, I mean, you know how the game ends. I mean, it's just, the last 2 minutes, we had every opportunity. We cut it to 91-88, and you feel like, okay, we've got a shot here. After the two free throws at the two-minute mark, layup from Hubbard makes it a 91-90 game with 2 minutes to play, and you're thinking, we just got to get a stop. Well, we get a stop. Ainsley Almanor misses a three-point basket. We get an opportunity here after an attempted second shot there. Claude Harris gets the rebound, and Hubbard takes a three, and we don't get it. And they go right down and score to push it out there. I mean, and at this point, the ball game is over. I thought we really forced some shots there in that final segment, last couple minutes there. It felt like that we kind of lost our composure just a little bit. That's how it felt. It's like everybody wanted to make the big shot there. But, it is what it is. And, again, we are a legit team. And I think, again, we have acquitted ourselves well, and I think people kind of see that for what it is.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The fact that Kentucky is celebrating this win should be taken as a compliment to Mississippi State fans. I know some of our fans have gotten out there and interacted with some of them on Twitter, but the fact that it matters to them is really a compliment to how far Mississippi State has come as a program. So we lose the game by five, And then, again, every basket counts. It never boils down to one play, but it does. And again, you go back to that sequence, right? To close the first half, we could have gone in down two, instead we go down five. And ultimately, matched in basket for basket, 46-42. And you got to begin to think, again, if that shot didn't go in, you never know how it changes the complexity of the game. But we're a legit team. Jackson Robinson, number two, it felt like it was just a career night for him. 9 of 12 from beyond the arc for 27 points to lead all scorers. For the Bulldogs, Cam Matthews, 19 points in 36 minutes of action, just a one personal foul. And if I told you that when you saw how aggressively he was playing, and again, this goes back to officiating. You know, a lot of people are like, hey, I thought the officiating was one-sided. There were some times, too, that Cam was out there being pretty physical and didn't get called. I thought there was just the one trailside official, I thought, was the guy that kind of called some things that didn't make a lot of sense. And the crowd got on him a couple times, and they were right to do so. But a double-double for Cam, six steals in the ballgame, too. Dished out three assists. Huff, a quiet 15 points, 3 of 11. And it's so funny, too, that, you know, Huff can score 15, and people are like, man, we got to get him going, you know. And, yeah, we'd like to have him to have, you know, 25, 26-point nights. But it was a very balanced night scoring for State. RJ Melendez, 14 points. Claude Harris with 13. Michael Nwoko with 10. And then Keyshawn Murphy and Riley Kugel pitch in 8. And Kugel only plays 7 minutes. And you're thinking, just like I am, if we get these guys in the SEC tournament and we're healthy, we're going to beat them. That's how it feels. Sean Jones, again, I'm a huge Sean Jones fan. And he hit the 1-3. That's the only basket he got. But, man, it always felt like Sean is out there doing the right things defensively. He's a big part of this team, even though he didn't always get credit for it. Delquan Warren got in there a little bit just for 4 minutes, didn't attempt a shot. But, man, he was flat out giving them the blues on the ball defense. But not happy with the result, but I'm happy with the effort, and I'm happy with where we are. And, again, I think maybe this is a reminder to us that maybe we're just not quite where we want to be yet. I don't think it means that we're not good enough to get there. I think we are good enough to get there. And so we'll be at Auburn on Tuesday. That'll be interesting. The Auburn Tigers, of course, under Bruce Pearl, have done some pretty incredible things. I think you guys all see the same way I do, you know. And, you know, last year we played those guys and nobody gave us a shot. What do? We beat them. You know, Auburn's a good team, a good program. It's what you'd expect, right? You know, Bruce Pearl had a great run there at, you know, at Tennessee, you know, before he got in a little trouble. But, yeah, the reality of it is that this is a team that you know, is capable of probably winning a national championship. Of course, you know, it'll be interesting without Broome. You know, they're 15-1 on the year, a perfect 7-0 at home. They won 8 games in a row, 2-1 away in true away games and 6 neutral side games. But, yeah, it's interesting. You know, to look at this team, they're a lot like Kentucky. Their long loss at Duke, 84-78. You don't just march into Cameron Indoor and push those guys around. It's just not how life works. I think we all see that. We all know it. But, yeah, we're going to have to go do some cool things. And, yeah, Auburn up to number one in this week's Associated Press Top 25 poll. Bulldogs actually moved down a little bit, and you expect that. I mean, you lose a ball game, you expect to go down. But this Auburn team, in case you have not seen them, they are among the most physical teams that we're going to see the entire year. And there will be times that things are going to get physical. It's true. This is a very, very big and beefy lineup, and they like to push and shove a little bit. They like to talk a little bit, too. And I think one of the things about this Auburn team, too, is maybe they've matured a little bit over last year. They had some discipline issues last year, if you recall. You know, some technical foul problems and things like that. And you know, I think this is a team that perhaps has matured a little bit. But they're averaging almost 87 points a game. And then giving up to 66. And it's not, again, you play so many games as they did away from their home arena. It's not like they just kind of stocked up a bunch of non-conference wins and never left Auburn, Alabama, outscoring opponents by over 20 points a game, 31% from the field, 37% from beyond the arc. Now, they'll let you shoot it a little bit. you know, they're just kind of forcing some difficult shots, out-rebounding opponents by just over 7 boards a game, pulling down 38.5 per game, handing out almost 19 assists per game, allowing just 8.4. They're playing team basketball and not letting you. You'd expect that. Big, long, athletic lineup, not a lot of room in those passing lanes. They don't turn it over a whole lot, just 9 per game, forcing 11. But, again, you know, we're going to have to bring our best effort to win this game. And you better believe that this is a group that remembers last year that Mississippi State really gave them some struggle, you know. And Johnny Broome, we mentioned him. I'm sure he won't play tomorrow. They say it's a high ankle sprain. It looked worse than that, but, you know, I'm no doctor. But averaging almost 18 points a game, also leads the team with 43 blocks, pulls down 171 rebounds. I hope he makes a full recovery come Wednesday. That's as nice as I can say it. The guy's legit. Arguably one of the best players in the country, and certainly in the SEC. But, again, it's not a one-man team by any stretch. They have 6 players averaging double figures scoring. And then you bring Jaquie Howard off the bench, averaging almost 7. Dylan Cardwell pitching almost 6. And so a little depth on this team. But by and large, it has been the same 5 for much of the year. You know, Broome, Baker Mazzara, Jones, Kelly, and Dylan Cardwell. Kelly's missed a couple of games, and then J.P. Pegues started in his place. But, yeah, this is a group that's used to playing together, and you got to wonder what influence would it have not having Broome, not having him, period, and his ability to score and rebound, but what does this do for the complexity of the offense and the defense? Not having him in the ball game, what does that change about the game plan? And so maybe we can go in there and have an opportunity to do something special. And again, I hope that he makes a full recovery. I do. I just hope it begins on Wednesday. You know, I just want to win the game. I don't care if they have to play with 4. But, yeah, this is a legit team, and they will have to have our full attention. And I think at some point you're going to see Hub just have one of those crazy games that kind of made him one of the most special players in the country last year. And perhaps it's this one. You know, we'll see. But for those of you that are making the trip over there, we thank you for that. It's a pretty awesome thing to go see road basketball. I know there will be some Bulldogs that go do that. We had some Bulldogs that went to Nashville that are going to Auburn too. And so I think it's a great thing when you have the opportunity to get out and go to road games and support the Bulldogs. As Chris Jans has said multiple times, you know, they really recognize our fans. Cam Matthews, of course, tweeted out how much he loved our fans. What a great environment it was at Humphrey Coliseum. So 6 p.m. tip Tuesday night. And of course, we'll be back on Wednesday to kind of recap whatever happens. But, again, nobody needs to bail on this team. No matter what happens Tuesday night, you don't need to say, well, you know, it's just same old, same old. Every time I get excited about Mississippi State sports, did you expect us to go undefeated? Is that what you thought? Let's not convey some unrealistic expectations on this team. There were a lot of people in the league that thought we'd be, you know, kind of middle of the pack or second half of the league. We're better than that, and I think we're going to prove that. And it may not look like it 5 games into the schedule, but hang in here with us. There's no need to be negative. There's no need to get down on this team. Believe in this team. They're the same team that destroyed South Carolina, the same team that won at Vanderbilt, the same team that won at Memphis. We just ran across a team that had a little bit better night than us that I think that we are on par with. That's how I see it. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. One of those things they don't tell you when you're growing up is you're going to need a mortgage officer. You're going to need somebody to handle those things for you that's got the know-how and the expertise to get you to the closing table when you're looking to buy a house, refinance a house. There's so many things that goes on with this. It's a very complicated procedure. Reach out to Blair Chandler at 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Blair's been in the industry 24 years. If I can adjust the mic here. 24 years. And so Blair has seen it all and done it all. And maybe you can hear me better now. Yeah. So he's seen it all and done it all, and he's one of us. And so I like to keep business in the family whenever we can. Blair's a guy that's a season ticket holder in multiple sports, but also, too, has a place here in town. He rides a wave of bulldog emotion just like you do. So when you can, whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler is the name to know. Again, 24 years of experience, for sure. All right, you know, I'm a weird guy, and maybe weird's not the right word, but I'll take it. I think that I'm a little bit eccentric and maybe borderline brilliant. But I like things in music that don't normally fit, right? I mean, so like we get so caught up in rock music, rap music, country music. It's the same instrumentation. We change the lyrics a little bit. We change the timing a little bit. The chord structure is a little bit different, but it's the same stuff, right? One of the things that I hated growing up was a steel guitar. I hated it. Hated it. It sounded terrible to me. But what's interesting growing up, too, is, you know, I was born at the end of the psychedelic rock era. And so a lot of people, of course, were all into Ravi Shankar and things like that. And there was all this Middle Eastern type influence in music. I think people wanted to show that they were maybe cool. But nevertheless, the sitar was involved in music. And so I wanted to celebrate some of my favorite songs that use the sitar. Maybe you're unfamiliar with it. You've probably heard it a million times, didn't know that it was called a sitar, but it is. So here are my top 10 favorite songs that feature the sitar. Now what's interesting about this too, is you're gonna know a lot of these songs. There's a couple to start that I'm just putting in there because they're Steve. You know, they're just Steve. So here we go. My top 10 favorite songs that feature the sitar. Number 10, I love this song. I've always loved it. I was living in Kent, Mississippi at the time when this song came out. We listened to it on Z-Rock 106.7 out of the Jacktown capital city radio frequency. Loved it. And I remember hearing it on the radio first, then I began to see it on MTV, and I was like, cool, the Electric Boys are on MTV? This is great. I went out and bought the album. It's not a lot of depth on the album, but they're very different. But we're going to go with Electric Boys, She's All Lips and Hips. It opens up with this little sitar intro, and then the guitar kicks in. And if you're driving and listening to this, when the guitar kicks in, make sure you've got your cruise control set. Number 9, a band that many of you know well, they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, unlike the Electric Boys, it's The Cure. And I love that you've seen the video, I'm sure, like when The Cure was nominated and the girl was like, hey, you guys are going to the Hall of Fame, you know, are you as excited as I am? And Robert Smith says, by the sound of it, no, you know. But The Cure had a great, great track that probably didn't get the play that it deserved. If Only Tonight We Could Sleep. If Only Tonight We Could Sleep. That's your number 9 track featuring the sitar. Number 8, and I think the rest of these, especially if you're my generation or young or older, you're going to know all these songs. And even some of you young bucks that were raised right, you're going to know it too. Number 8, Tom Petty's Don't Come Around Here No More. Yeah, it's true. You can hear it. And right now you'd be like, oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, Steve, you're right. Yes, I am. Number 7, a song that was a huge hit, and I don't know that B.J. Thomas has been truly embraced by the younger generation, and maybe perhaps for good reason, but Hooked on a Feeling, like in the intro and that first verse, you can plainly hear the sitar being played. I didn't think B.J. Thomas was more of a psychedelic, but here we go. Number 6, a band that we've never done a top 10 list of, and maybe we should, a band that was really, really involved in everything is, I don't know if they were ever fully a headliner in their era, but they have a lot of fans. It's the Moody Blues, and we're going with Legend of a Mind. That's your number 6 track today. They actually use the sitar on 3 or 4 different songs in our catalog, but we're going to go with this one. Number 5, perhaps one of the most poignant songs of all time, a cautionary tale to dads out there, and moms in some respect, but especially dads, about don't let life happen around you while you're busy doing other stuff. It's Harry Chapin's Cats in a Cradle. Of course, Ugly Kid Joe reintroduced it to a new generation of fans. But it is a song for many, many years that has kind of told the story of, you get so busy chasing, the wrong things in life, your kids grow up on you and they're gone. You know, it's like in the end of the song, he's like, my boy was just like me. Yeah, it's true. Number four, and this is a surprise to many people. As a surprise, when I Googled it, I had to double check myself. And there's actually videos out there that kind of break it down. There's an overdub in the guitar solo of this Van Halen classic. Now, those of you that really know Van Halen, like Rob's right now saying, yep, I know where he's going with this because I already knew it because I'm a musician. I understand. There's an overdub on the guitar solo in Van Halen's Ain't Talking About Love with the sitar. Maybe you didn't know that. It's a cool thing. Did you ever think that for a second, that Eddie Van Halen? Should it surprise you? A musical genius like Eddie wouldn't add a little something, a little element to the music to make it a little bit unique? Of course he would. Number three, it's the Beatles. And they use a sitar a few times, but probably the best example of their use of the sitar is the track Norwegian Wood. You didn't expect to hear that today, Norwegian Wood on a boneyard, but you did. From the Beatles. Number two, can't have a list without the Beatles, without having the Stones. And you've heard this song a million times, and maybe you didn't recognize that it was a sitar in the intro to Painted Black. It's so good to like the percussion on the Stones too. I started to do a percussive list today. I just didn't have enough time to kind of put the research into it. But man, listen to Charlie back there beating the Skins, man, for the Stones. Like, it is so in the pocket. Like, I don't know that he gets the credit because, like, Mick Jagger, of course, and Keith Richards, such big personalities. Ron Wood, great rhythm guitar player, always the handsome guy. I don't know that Charlie got maybe the notoriety that he deserved. Maybe that's just me. But he's kind of a drummer's drummer. I think most people would agree with that. I mean, he influenced so many people. And but when you think about, great music, it starts with the rhythm section, man. It does. It starts, Charlie Watts is phenomenal. And you think about, Ringo with the Beatles and Charlie Watts, and there's a reason these bands last. You've got to have a great foundation to work from. And I think you hear that on Painted Black, too. I mean, we're kind of highlighting the sitar today, but all of a sudden, that really driving percussive beat comes in as soon as the intro is over. And it just kind of goes through the whole song. And I think there's a lot of young people today that say, I don't really listen to all that classic stuff. You know what? Your favorite bands did, and at least the bands that influenced them did. And so I'd encourage you maybe to expand your horizons a little bit. But number one, and I think this is one of the coolest songs of all time. I do. It is the most recognized hit from this band. But on this, the sitar is part of the guitar solo, much like it was in Ain't Talking About Love, but it's a little more pronounced. It's not a hidden overdub like it is in Ain't Talking About Love. But this song, we talk about perfect songs, right? And there are a lot of them out there, I think. There's some songs that just kind of capture an emotion, capture a moment. But when we speak about composition, I think this is one of those songs from start to finish. There's so many layers to this track. It's so great. It's Steely Dan's Do It Again. My favorite song featuring the sitar. And we did a top 10 Steely Dan list. I'll let Dave Murray pick the 10 because he's a big Steely Dan fan. He'll be proud to know that this is our number one. But everything about it, from the vocal to all the percussive stuff that happens in the background, there's just so much going on in the song that really pushes that vocal forward. Sometimes, when you've got people that maybe aren't as strong a vocalist, less is more, right? You want to have less things from the sing over. But in this situation here, we Do It Again. I think all of that bed of sound underneath the vocal just kind of pushes it to the top. Incredible, incredible, incredible song. I have loved it all of my life. I remember being a kid, man. That's what we did, right? We only had four TV channels. And, so when we didn't have something on TV we wanted to watch, we didn't have the Cartoon Network, man. The only cartoons we got were on Saturday morning, and they went off at noon, and then Mid-South Wrestling came on. So we'd get donuts and eat cartoons and feel great. We'd even get up early sometimes on Saturday morning so we could watch Popeye on WWL when we could pick it up on the antenna. You know, so check your privilege there, cartoon kids. But that's what we did, man. We listened to records, and we put the radio on, and that's how we got our news. It's not like today where you get everything on Twitter or X. You know, when there was breaking news, it was on the radio first because the TV didn't always have it. You know, it was a big deal for the TV. You get break in the broadcast. You got to set everything up. You know, get somebody behind the desk. And so breaking news at times came on the radio first. So if you wanted to be entertained, you wanted to be informed, you listened to terrestrial radio. And so there's a reason we all know so much about music. It's because it was such a huge part of our lives. Guys, we had ABC, NBC, CBS, and then the Mississippi Public Broadcast Channel. And we were happy to have that, but sometimes, too, you get in the middle of all that, and somebody didn't keep a tidy schedule. It's like, hey, well, Sesame Street's coming on today on MPB. Then you get over there, and it's like, you know, some documentary about farming. You know, no, all due respect to farming. You know my love of the farmers. But when you're a six-year-old kid and you want to watch Electric Company, and then you turn it on at the time, but it normally comes on and it's not on, or you have you know, some old miseducated librarian interviewing some obscure writer that you've never heard of, it sucked. And so radio was a huge part. We were raised on radio, and Journey even titled an album after that, but it's true. We were raised on radio, and that's one of the reasons that I think that so many people from my generation, it's like we identify our moods and what's going on in our lives with certain songs. The greatest time machine that's ever been invented is just to put a song on from yesteryear. And you can sometimes I can even smell, right? I remember smells. I remember being certain places. It's crazy how that works, how you can all bring that stuff back. So it's so fun to be able to celebrate that with all of you. And music today is so incredibly watered down. You know, it's so anybody can do it. You can download Pro Tools and record a song yourself and put it on iTunes and call yourself a musician. You know, it's true. That's the thing I get. I don't want to chase this for long, but it's like nobody's okay just being a soldier anymore. You know what I mean? It's like everybody's got to be a general. Everybody's got to be a CEO. Everybody's got to be a king. Everybody's got to be a queen. That doesn't work that way. That's not how life works. We have basically watered down the titles of those things because of the fact that nobody's capable of just kind of being, you know, a good ant, a worker ant. I mean, it's just true. And so I embrace all that stuff. I know my role in the world, and I try to do my best to play the part. But very grateful to all of you for your support and your support of the Top 10 List. If you have ideas for the Top 10 List, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on X, Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. You can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I have for a long, long time. They've been serving this great fan base for a long time, too. Maybe you have not perused their fine selection of Mississippi State merchandise, but you should. Next time you're in town, go down and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. They have everything you need, whether it be apparel or gift ideas, as diploma frames, which is a timeless gift you can give your Mississippi State graduate. Be the favorite aunt or uncle. Just take care of that. They'll look at that and think of you. All the years they have that diploma proudly displayed in their home or office, they'll remember you. Now, if you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's internet, at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Roberts, and that gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Okay. Sam Purcell, ladies, pick up a big win. We expected that to be a win. Nevertheless, anytime you get a road win in the SEC, it is a big, big deal because it is so difficult to do. Bulldog shot it really well yesterday, too, if you haven't kept up. But, yeah, it's one of those great things, too. There's just so much that happens over the course of an SEC schedule. You have to win the games you're expected to win. And where State is currently positioned in the schedule, it makes that win even more amplified, as you guys are well aware. Because, again, you get top 16 Kentucky on the road, Carolina comes in, and then you host Oklahoma. Top 10, you beat them, and then you get, you know, you could be up in the clouds, but instead, great job by the coaching staff as the Bulldogs win by 11 at Athens. Now we'll get ready on Thursday to head to Knoxville. And then from there, the schedule gets a lot easier to deal with. Of course, you got the rivalry game. You got, you know, LSU on the road, and then Alabama is currently ranked. Yeah, and we'll see what happens. And we get Vic Schaefer late. I mean, so after this road trip to Tennessee, only three ranked opponents left on the schedule. Let's take a quick look back at yesterday, too. Remember, Bulldogs win 79-68. And State got it going early, up by five. And then in the second period, we made a few adjustments and really put some distance between us and the Georgia Bulldogs. State 41-27 leaders at the break. And give Georgia some credit. They didn't just go away. They came back in that third period. They win the period 20-13 and kind of cut into that lead. The Bulldogs win the fourth by four, and ultimately the game 79-68. Anaya Russell, big game for her. And as the official count began to kind of gloat a little bit, take stock, Anaya Russell, 21 points in 38 minutes of action. How about to play 38 minutes of basketball and not get a single personal foul? That's learning to defend without being too physical. And then dished out 9 assists. 4 turnovers. I mean, it can't all be perfect. But, yeah, good game for her. Medina Okot, you know, she had the big, big, big closing segment against Oklahoma. And she's not Tierra McCallum by any stretch, but she is very athletic and has a great radius. And so she's an elite rebounder. Pulls down 12 boards in the ballgame, scores 19 points, 8 of 11 from the field, 3 of 4 from the line. 3 personal fouls and a block, too. But, starting to see Medina really kind of blossom. Jerkayla Jordan, 11 points for her. And how big is it to go get an SEC win without Jerkayla having to kind of carry the team? Not to mention, she needed a little time off, too, after the Oklahoma game. We don't win that game without her. DeBrescia Poe, 9 points. You know, she missed a game here recently. Fans were concerned, but she's right back in the mix in the starting lineup. 9 points in 24 minutes of action. Denham DeShields, starting to see a lot more of her. One of State's better on the ball defenders. 5 points, 2 of 7 from the field. Knocked down 1 three-point basket in 5 attempts. Pulled down 4 rebounds, too. It was really kind of a team effort on the glass as every Bulldog that played pulled down a rebound. 42 in all, and of course, Okot with a dozen there. But, you know, rebounding and defense are about effort. And that's one of the things that Mississippi State people really respond to. Is effort. And that's, we got spoiled for years, you know, when Vic was here, as we began to kind of work through all this stuff with, you know, with those ladies. But it's like, you know, we were so used to just being a team that was relentless defensively. And then we had a couple of years there where maybe we weren't exactly there. Sam gets there and it's clear that he is a guy that is emphasizing defense and rebounding. And it's paying off. And we talked about this in the preseason about how difficult the opening part of the schedule was. You have to feel good about where State is positioned right now. And again, starting to get some newer and younger players involved in a rotation, a lot of depth. And that depth is kind of showing itself. And, you know, back-to-back wins. You get out to an 0-2 start. You even the record now. 4 games in the SEC play. Bulldogs 2-2. Now, we'll preview the game with Tennessee on Wednesday. But I think we all feel pretty good about where things stand. And certainly yesterday, again, a game that we expected to win, you know, against a Georgia team that has had their share of struggles. But the last thing we can afford to do is to go over there and lay an egg. Bulldogs, again, 15-3 overall, 2-2 in the league. Georgia drops to 9-9 and 1-3 in the SEC. Not sure what's going to happen long-term at Georgia. Not really our concern, right? We just had to go in there, take a business trip to Athens, Georgia, win a ball game and get back. And now we get, you know, a chance to get a couple days to get our legs under us before we before we head to Tennessee. And if you're in the greater Knoxville area, that's about a 6-hour drive from Stark Vegas. But maybe if you're in Birmingham and thinking, hey, maybe we can get off work early and go support the Bulldogs, we should. But the State women's team back in action this Sunday against Ole Miss. 2 p.m. is your tip. We encourage you to be here. We're going to need you. Simple as that. We're going to need you. Big ball game. Big ball game. And you're looking at some SEC stuff here, too. You know, it's so interesting how things kind of begin to go when it comes to SEC play. Again, just 4 games in right now, so you don't have a huge sample size to work with here. But as I've mentioned on the show before, the have-nots in this league are really having nothing, right? I mean, maybe there's a better way to phrase that. But the difference between the top of the league and the bottom of the league is very substantial. It's not like on the men's side, where it feels like any game that you go out there, you could lose. And that's true in some respects on the women's side. But we have some teams that are really struggling. But just looking at SEC play, of course, LSU's won 18 games in a row, and they're undefeated, 3-0 in the league. Most of those games have come at the Maravich Assembly Center. And then South Carolina, 16-1 overall, 4-0 in the league. Kentucky, 4-0, and then 15-1 overall. They've won 8 straight. Alabama, 3-1 in the league, 16-2 overall. Texas, 3-1. They dropped a game over the weekend, 16-2 overall. Tennessee, 2-2, 14-2. So it's doable, right? Of course, State's 2-2, 15-3. So the better overall record, it's a toss-up game. And anytime that you have to go into the house that Pat Summitt built, you better bring a sack lunch. Oklahoma now 2-2 in the league. They went over the weekend, 14-3 overall. Ole Miss 2-2, 11-5. They dropped the game to Alabama yesterday. Florida 2-2, 11-7 overall. Vanderbilt's 1-2 in the league and 14-3 overall. Georgia now 1-3 in the league, 9-9 overall. A&M's 1-3, 8-8. Arkansas's 1-3, 8-11. Missouri 0-4, 11-8 overall. And Auburn's 0-4, 9-8. Looks like Auburn may be trending toward a coaching change. You know, last year may have proven to be an anomaly. You know, we'll see how things go. But it's always so interesting to me. You know, you begin to kind of wonder how much does all this matter, right? How much does this matter? And we talked about LSU and Vanderbilt a little bit off kilter with the rest of the league. They'll play tonight, Vanderbilt at LSU. It's a 6 p.m. tip. Baton Rouge time, if you're so inclined to watch that, if you're just a fan of the women's game. I know how it was, like when we were rolling big and competing for an SEC championship, we kept up with everybody, right? It was must-see TV to sit down and watch it, and there is some renewed exuberance when it's come to women's basketball. And I don't want to sell the win at Georgia short. I know they have not had, you know, a great year. But the reality of it is that there have been so many times that, you know, we've gone on a road and played some mid-level team in the SEC, and you look up and it's like, you know what, this is not not all that we'd hoped. You know, it's not how life works sometimes. And so excited to be where we are and look forward to what's next. And if you could find a way to win against Tennessee, now all of a sudden you seriously start thinking about, you know, finishing in the top 4 or 5 schools in the conference. You know, LSU and South Carolina are going to finish 1-2. And from there, from probably 2-8, it's going to be an absolute bloodbath. I think we kind of know how the bottom 4 of the league is going to go when it's all said and done. But State should do no worse in the middle of the pack. But if we can finish in the top half of this league, it puts us in a really good position to get back to the NCAA tournament. And again, remember last year, we got really hot until we kind of ran out of juice late and then had that, 6-7 game losing streak. Tough thing. We got depth now, I think. Hopefully we can avoid that, provided we stay healthy. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I love the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You should too. I have stayed there. And you should plan a trip yourself to come stay at the premier location here in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group of folks to town. It's neatly positioned off 182 out past the Highlands. You know, it's off the road a good bit, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do your tailgating right there. So maybe you're coming for like a midweek trip, maybe get some vacation time. Use that midweek trip, come watch men play Tuesday night, the ladies play on Wednesday. And you can do, you know, dine at a great place and have a place right here in town to stay. And it's so much better getting everybody together under one roof. It's one thing if we're all coming to town and everybody gets an Airbnb and everybody's spread out. But how many of those casual conversations can you have that don't involve dinner. You know, it's nice to be able to just kind of sit there and watch TV. And you know what? If the guys want to get together and make a beer run, you can. Ladies can stay behind. Or maybe the ladies want to make the beer run. I'm not judging. But I'm just telling you, there's just something about having everybody together so you can sit around, you can play cards, and really have all of your recreation time together. That's an important part of life. We don't get together enough. We say it all the time. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page will pop up. And you can peruse the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests. In addition to that, when you Google, the booking options are going to pop up for you too. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO if you want. You may have a credit with them, I don't know. But if you want to save some cash, I can have you book through the Evolve website. Let me give you a promo code, BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson. And the number 10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay just by listening to this show. Book a trip for the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You'll be glad you did. Okay, D1 Baseball put out their preseason poll today. And we certainly expected to be somewhere in the teens, and we ended up being somewhere in the teens. Maybe not as high as we thought, but here's the thing. The only poll that counts is the last one. And that's the one that we want to be number one in. I'm not sure if we've got a team capable of getting the number one and staying there, but nevertheless, hope springs eternal this time of year. Okay, number 25 on the list, Mississippi State's going to play them on a Tuesday before we head down to Houston. It's Troy. And I saw some people complaining, hey, why is Troy ranked and not Southern Miss? Well, you know, Troy had a better season. And Troy's bringing some people back. They weren't ranked last year, but yeah, there's always going to be a little mid-major love in these polls this time of year. Nebraska, 24. TCU at 23. UC Santa Barbara, remember, they hosted last year and should not have. Hosted basically at a municipal park out there that doubles as a baseball diamond. Couldn't get anybody in the stadium. They finished the year ranked 19th. They debuted this year at 22. Arizona last year. Winners of the final Pac-12 regular season title and the conference tournament, they hosted over us. Wasn't a great league, wasn't a great team. They finished the year at 25. They entered this year at 21. Dallas Baptist, one of the great mid-majors in college baseball. I think they're an Omaha team in waiting. It just seems like if they can ever get just enough of the right pieces and stop guys from going in the portal, they have an opportunity to get to Omaha. I think they're one of those mid-majors that everybody talks about that's a resume-building opportunity. But I think they're close. They finished the year unranked at 45 and 15. They're ranked 20. Number 19, Texas. Of course, Texas wasn't a great year last year. They finished 36 and 24 last year. Remember, they lost at A&M? That was tough. It's kind of like, welcome to the league, baby. They finished the year unranked, 12 games above 500. They enter at number 19. Now, I think a lot of that is a Jim Schlossnagle effect. I think if Texas still had David Pierce, they probably wouldn't be a preseason. But, you know, Schloss is a good coach. They did have some players move on to Texas, but maybe not the, the cupboard raiding event that so many people expected. A&M hung on to most of those kids. Mississippi State, number 18. Finished the year 17 games above 500 and 22nd in the country. As you guys know, we were as I said last year, that we would be a solid number two on the road, and people were like, you know what, I'll take that. And then as we got closer to being in a hosting discussion, we all got a little greedy, including your good friend at host, and I'm like, hey, we should have hosted it. I still believe we should have hosted. However, you don't lose to Central Arkansas, and you don't lose to Austin Peay, and you don't have to defend yourself. Just sell it on the field. We're not the Ole Miss people trying to win an argument. Just fix it on the field. Number 17, one of the opponents Mississippi State's going to have. We're going to play Arizona, too. Arizona and Oklahoma State we'll see down there at the Astros Foundation College Classic. We'll see Rice, Arizona, and Oklahoma State. So two of those three opponents enter the preseason ranked. No guarantee they'll be there by the time we get there, but they should. You never know in college baseball, though. Vanderbilt, number 16. I don't agree with this. I don't think Vandy should be ahead of State. And I honestly think what we saw from Vanderbilt last year, finishing 15 games over 500, is what we should expect. Now, they got hot late, as you guys know. They had a decent run there in Hoover. And ended up making the tournament field, but finished the year not ranked. And I just don't think they did enough in the portal to really move the needle. That's my opinion. I think in the end, Mississippi State will end up ranked ahead of Vanderbilt. That's what I think today. Clemson, ranked 15th, ended the year number 9. There were a lot of people last year that thought Clemson was kind of a dark horse to go make a run at Omaha. They didn't. They finished the year 44-16. I didn't think the ACC was quite as strong as they wanted it to be. And I think that's kind of the case this year, too. I think a lot of people, because really the dominant baseball conferences are the ACC and the SEC. But when you get us together late, it doesn't always work out the way they want it to. It's true. It's true. And you know it's true. Number 14, Wake Forest. They finished the year non-ranked. And it's like all of a sudden, hey, we're going to go from unranked to top 15. I don't see it. And I understand that they did really well on the mound, in the portal. And there's a lot riding on that. And, of course, Wake Forest basically plays their home baseball games in a silo. It's kind of like playing backyard baseball. You know, I mean, it truly is. They're going to get a ton of home runs hit there. But that offense has historically struggled when it's gone on the road, and certainly when it went to Omaha. I mean, you know, the park just swallows them whole. Number 13, NC State. They finished the year ranked 6th last year. Like Elliott and those guys. Man, I do. I like the Wolfpack. And I got to know some of them, of course, were there in 21. I think NC State's one of these teams that, they're close. Yeah, they're close. And I think it's all going to boil down to do you have, because you're going to end up probably paired up with an SEC team in a super regional, do you have enough elite pitching to handle a good SEC lineup? That will determine if they get to Omaha or not. Oregon, number 12, finished the year 12, entered the year 12, a 40-20 record. And, we'll see how it goes. But it's so interesting, you know, how's the schedule going to play out? You know, it's a lot has changed. And, of course, Oregon, not really in a great baseball league anymore. And I don't know how great the Pac-12 was the last few years. There have been some elite teams in there, but up and down as a league, it hadn't been great. Number 11 is Duke. This is another one I disagree with. They finished the year 24, and they're number 11. So basically, you have them on the cusp of the top 10. They went 40-20 last year. It's true. But you got them 7 spots ahead of Mississippi State. You got them 6 spots ahead of Oklahoma State. I just don't get it. I think Duke will benefit from being in the ACC, but I don't think they're a team that's built for the postseason. Number 10 is Florida. And, Florida struggled all year and then got hot late, as you guys are well aware. Ended up ranked 8th in the country. They entered the year 10th. And a lot of upheaval with that pitching rotation. Of course, you know, you also don't have Godzilla anymore in the heart of that lineup. Thank goodness. And I still have flashbacks in that series of Gainesville. A series that we probably should have swept. We get walked off on Friday. We destroyed them on Saturday. And we get walked off on Sunday. It's crazy. And they end up at Omaha. Number 9, Florida State. Ranked 4 last year. And again, I think Florida State is a blue blood in college baseball. Even though they've never won the national championship. It's hard to argue, but again, I think they play in a subpar league. I mean, I know the ACC is better than most leagues. It's just not on par with the SEC. Georgia at 8. I don't agree with this either. Not saying that they shouldn't be ranked ahead of Mississippi State. They have a lot of pieces back. They have the number 1 portal class. They were ranked 11 last year. They're going to get to play so many games at Foley Field and play home run derby. So they're going to be really good at home. I don't know how good they're going to be on the road. They finished 43-17 last year, but they were a team, again, so much upheaval in that roster. I just don't think they're a top 10 team. I think they're probably a top 15 team. I know Wes will do a good job with the pitching there. I just don't know, kind of like everybody else. I mean, the weekend rotation is going to determine everything. Number 7, Oregon State. Finished the year 10 last year. They start the year 7. I like this Beavers team. I do. I think they did a good job in the portal. And I think they're also a team that return enough pieces from a baseball-savvy program that has expectations. And I don't really think it matters what league you put Oregon State in. I think you could put them in the SEC, and they would be a top half of the SEC type program. I think there's a lot of pride. They get a lot of the better pro players out of Northern California and guys that want to go play at a baseball school, and Oregon State is a baseball school. And so I think this is a good team. I think in the end it's going to boil down with them, like everybody else, pitching, but it's going to be matchups too. If they continue, like last year they wanted to do this geographical stuff to kind of, hey, we want every region represented in Omaha, which is the wrong way to do it. You go out there and you rank the best teams. And if you're good enough to get to Omaha, you get there. Well, let's all pair these, you know, teams up, and you know, we want to get some Western representation. We're trying to grow the game. The way you grow the game is you win. Simple as that. You don't lower the hurdles. All right, North Carolina at number six. Finished the year at number five last year. Love this program. I do. And when we talk about the class of the ACC, there are two teams that stand at the highest, in my estimation, and it's probably Florida State and North Carolina. You could make a case for Virginia, who is projected to do really well this year, but I do think North Carolina is a team capable of going to Omaha. Now, I also know, too, that Aaron Fitt, my friend, is going to be the ACC voice in these poll discussions. And so the fact that you've got, what is it, one, two, three ACC teams in a top nine? Yeah, I don't know that I agree with that. But, you know, it's going to happen this time of year. All right, number five, Arkansas. You never bet against Dave Van Horn. And I know last year, like, the pitching rotation really struggled. They were expected to be the best in the conference. I had them preseason SEC champs right out of the gate. I thought with that weekend rotation, they wouldn't have any issues. And then you know what? Brady didn't really return to form. I can't remember the kid's name they brought in from Texas Tech. Molina, he was expected to be a guy and put on a lot of bad weight. Didn't have stamina, work deep in ball games. And there really wasn't a star in the offensive lineup. And what I mean by that is there were some really good players. Don't get me wrong. Some really good players in that Arkansas lineup. But there wasn't the guy you had to pitch around. They finished the year 44-16. And so let that think in for a second. So State 42-19, Arkansas 44-16. Basically two games difference. And of course State lasted longer in Hoover, so that's part of it. But also too, I go back and think about that's a series we should have won. And so it sets a table. And again, the only poll that counts, but Dave Van Horn, I don't care. And they did a good job in the portal, don't get me wrong. I don't care what they do at Arkansas in the portal. As long as Dave Van Horn is the coach at Arkansas, Arkansas is going to be a gritty and gutty and blue-collar team that will get after you, period. I mean, again, you see last year, you outside of Friday night with Hagan Smith, was there a star on that Arkansas team? And I'm going to tell you no. And I think that speaks to the quality of coaching and culture at Arkansas, that you don't have two or three guys in there that are just game wreckers and you're still winning 44 games. And I only begin to imagine, what if some guys had stayed healthy? What if they get maybe 20% more from Molina or from Heigl? I mean, it just everything changes. And so, again, I think that speaks more to about Dave, and I think this roster offensively is going to be better than what they had last year. And so, yeah, I think Arkansas in the top 10 makes perfect sense to me. I don't know if I like them at five, but I think Arkansas has the ability to get to Omaha. It's so tough to go play a bomb, too. It is. It's tough. It really is. You got to get them on the road. Now, number four, your defending national champion, Tennessee Volunteers. They fall from 1-4. They won 60 games last year. An incredible year. And I think Tony Vitello would tell you that they left some games out there. Tony recruits in his own image. He has the alpha dog mentality, but I'll tell you, when he's away from the field, he just talks like me and you. He's really not that kind of guy. But I like people that are fiery competitors, and it's so interesting. I think I share with you guys. Had a chance to visit with him kind of individually at Hoover, and he told me he wanted me to deliver a message to all of you. And he said, please let the Mississippi State fans know I really don't want to get into a hockey fight every time we play. To be honest with you, I like the passion and the emotion. I just wish we beat them a little more often. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. You look at last year in Hoover, we had every opportunity to get them, and we didn't. But a great year for Tennessee, and a great year for Tony Vitello. And I think it's pretty safe to say he's there to stay for a while. Number three, LSU. And this, again, another one. I think this is weighted too much on the portal. Good portal class, a lot of pieces that are valued high, but can you put a team together? When LSU won it in 23, they had a great nucleus of players already coming back, and they used the portal to supplement where they were short. Of course, you go get Paul Skeens, arguably the greatest LSU pitcher since Ben McDonald. It's going to make a difference. But to go from unranked to third, I'm not buying it. 43-23, I think LSU will be a team that gets better as the year goes along. That's one of the reasons I'm so glad that we're playing them in March. Playing them down there before it gets sunny, before the wind changes direction down there. The wind pattern should favor us. Should be able to keep the ball in the ballpark. But LSU, no denying, they did a great job in the portal. Can Jay Johnson and those guys meld that group into a national championship caliber team? That remains to be seen. Number two, the team that eliminated Mississippi State last year, a team that I really like after seeing them in person, Virginia. Now, 46-17, they finished the year 7. They get to Omaha. I said then on the show that I thought they were a team that was built to win at Omaha because they weren't so reliant on the home run. A lot of those teams that are relying on a home run get very comfortable in their own ballpark, and it doesn't travel. And that's kind of what happened in Virginia. But I thought, hey, they're more of a doubles team. You know, they run the bases a little bit. They'll move you around some. And so I thought, hey, this is an offense. No matter where you play and what venue, they should be productive. They go to Omaha and they're not. They couldn't hit elite pitching. And, you know, we did a pretty good job against them too until things fell apart there in the ninth inning. But nevertheless, Virginia expected to do exceptionally well. If I had to pick it today, though, I'm probably picking North Carolina to win the ACC. That's how I feel today. Of course, number one is A&M. That should come as no surprise to anybody. A&M brings back everybody but Braden Montgomery, basically. They bring the weekend rotation back. You know, that ultimately cost us a player, right? It's true. But they basically returned the lineup pretty much intact and the rotation, probably the most complete team in the country. They go 53-15 last year and then play for a NAFL title and then lose to Tennessee and finish the year number two. Now, of course, we'll see what happens with Mikey calling the shots. It's a much different scenario now without Slosh. But it's going to be interesting to see what this team does. But, yeah, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. On paper today, Texas A&M should be the number one team in the country. I don't know how anybody could argue against that. So that's the top 25. And so you begin to kind of look through this, and I wrote about this morning. State doesn't play the number one team in the country. We're talking regular season schedule. We're not scheduled to play A&M. Number three team is LSU. We're going to go play them in Baton Rouge. We've won the last two series at Alex Box Stadium, and I think some of that. And we've also won, you know, last year here, we won three last four series against them. I don't know what it is about Lemonis and LSU. For some reason, he kind of finds the right buttons to push. Like we didn't, you know, we didn't throw Cade Smith against Skeens. We save him. We throw off. We throw Evan Sierra. And we end up winning the series. Had that wild game on Sunday. So we've won the last couple times down there. Not saying we're going to win this year. But Mississippi State has played LSU exceptionally well the last 4 years. Tennessee, the defending NAFL champions. Mississippi State doesn't play them in the regular season. Number five, Arkansas. Our familiar foals. And for a while there, we went back and forth, and we had this rivalry, and everything was great. Well, they've had our number. You know, last year, again, was a chance for us to, you know, to kind of get one back, and we didn't. We don't play them in a regular season this year. Georgia, number eight in the country. The number one portal class in the country. We don't play them. And so think about that for a second. We think about the teams in the top 10 from the SEC, A&M, LSU, Tennessee, Arkansas, Georgia, and then there's Florida. So six of the top 10 teams are from the SEC, we don't play four of those six. We do play Florida, who comes in at number 10, and we play them in Starkville. So if you got to play, you should have beat them last year. You know, pitching-wise, they should be good. Sully's always going to have good pitching. Get a little deeper to this thing. As we mentioned, Vanderbilt, number 16, we don't play them this year. Kind of our familiar foes. We've had a decent rivalry against them. Of course, a big, big series win last year up in Nashville. We don't play them. Interesting. Texas, ranked behind Mississippi State, number 19, will make their first trip to Starkville since 1922. Yeah. It's a true story. Pretty crazy. Most of our matchups have been in the postseason. They came here in 22. A little bit later, Duty Noble took our guys to Texas on our tour, and we killed them. They were number one. They were the best team in the country at the time. It wasn't polls back then, but they were considered the best team in the country. And so, again, you run it down here, so you have three of your non-conference opponents that are ranked, and at some point, Southern Miss will get in there too. You know, I don't know if Troy can hold out. But just kind of wanted to break this thing down today. Again, I ask all the time about scheduling, right? And when you begin to think about this Mississippi State schedule, we could not have asked for a better SEC schedule in baseball. We got to take advantage of it. Simple as that. This is the first year in a long time that we just didn't get absolutely jacked in the schedule in the SEC. And they always say, well, you know, Steve, it's weighted. And then we know it's not. Don't tell me that. But we're Mississippi State. We're expected to win games, period. Doesn't matter who we play or when we play them. But you go back and look at last year. You remember, you know, we had the non-conference, and then we open up with the defending NAFL champion LSU Tigers coming in here, and we take the series. And the game we lost, we lose 9-8. We 10-run ruled them on Sunday. Remember that? Then you had to go to A&M, a team that's now your preseason number one that played for a NAFL championship last year. Then you had to go to Gainesville, a team that made it to Omaha, preseason top 10 last year. And then we bring Georgia in here, a series that we should have swept. You know, and so this year it's a much different dynamic. But there are no off weekends in the SEC. Simple as that. It's not how life works in a neighborhood in which we live. And listen, we don't need people to lower the hurdles for us at Mississippi State in baseball. We expect excellence, and so we have to go take advantage of the schedule. And I'm looking back at 23, too, just to go back and look at the we opened up on the road in the frigid weather of Kentucky, and we get swept and embarrassed there. And then we have number 4 Vanderbilt come to Starkville, and then number 9 South Carolina, a series that we still feel like we should have won. Justin Parker was a pitching coach there then. And then we go over to Alabama, and we do win the series there. But again, as far as starts in the league go, this is one of the more advantageous ones that we have had. And so we have got to go make things happen. We're almost a month away from the beginning of college baseball. So we'll filter in a little baseball content between now and then. Before we get out of here, too, I want to do a little portal update on you. Maquise Grace committed to Kentucky. If you're a Gene Spade subscriber, you knew that was where things were likely headed. Desmond James from Arkansas committed to Cal. And again, once he left his visit at Mississippi State, just, you know, wasn't a big deal. You know, just never seemed like that was going to happen for us. And so, you know, we kind of move forward. We're waiting on Anthony Evans from Georgia. That's what we're waiting on now. And by the time you listen to the show, maybe we have a decision. Right now, it's just after 3 o'clock here in Starkville. So maybe we have a decision today. I don't know when he'll announce. I know he has visited SMU, and he is a Texas guy. And he's recently had a, you know, very close loss in his family. Does he decide, hey, I want to be closer to family? Or do I want to play in the SEC? You know, and so I can't tell you how that thing's going to go. I can tell you that there are some people that are kind of forecasting that he's coming to state, but I haven't seen anybody really get behind that with some confidence, and I'm not ready to do that either. And then we'll kind of see what happens here in the next few days is, you know, these playoff teams have some guys go in the portal. And, of course, the team's playing for an NAFL championship. They're going to play that game a week from today. And so the drop-add date for Mississippi State's the 23rd. And so if we're going to take anybody off those NAFL championship team participants, you know, they're going to have to basically finish up and then get in the car and come on the start bowl, you know, then have some classwork to make up. But that's kind of where we stand. We've had, again, we've updated that. We've kind of had, I want to compliment our friend Gold Rush MS, who has done a great job kind of tracking portal traffic for us, offers, visits, commitments to and from other places. Done a great job for us and hasn't asked anything for it. But we're getting down to the end of this thing. And, you know, we'd like to take a corner. And we have a corner from junior college, the top-rated junior college players in the country that is visiting UNLV, then visiting Mississippi State, and then visiting Liberty. And then we'll sign in February on the 5th and the natural national signing day, which sometimes we almost forget there is a signing day in February because basically December has become signing day. But you can sign guys, high school and junior college players, on the one day, the traditional national signing day in February. That still remains. Again, I argue, I don't know that enough, other than your mid-year guys, I don't know there was enough reason to change the model. But it is what it is. It's been a bonanza for our business, right? Because you get two signing days to cover, you got portal to cover. Tons of traffic, and we're appreciative for that. I just don't know if it's really saved a lot of anxiety on student-athletes. I think they're getting to take less and less visits and make, you know, less informed decisions. So we'll see how things go. But, yeah, so class begins at Mississippi State on Wednesday. Again, freshman and new student orientation began today. So we expect Evans to give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down in the next 24 to 36 hours. And, again, that's not a hard and fast rule. You've got all the way up until, you know, drop bad dates, 22nd and 23rd. You've got some room to work with if you need it. And even if it goes beyond that, the registrar's office can kind of step in. And those guys do a great job at Mississippi State. You know, we had, you know, Marcus Green a few years ago. So I keep getting Marcus Banks and Green mixed up. But never, and we've had a tight end in Marcus Green too. So give myself a little grace here. But we have had some players in the past that have transferred right at or beyond the drop ad date. And we've been able to get them admitted. And it's good that we have an administration that's willing to work with athletics to ensure that we can do the best job we possibly can. But that's what we're at. That's what we're down to. Basically, at this point, waiting on Anthony Evans. So he is the last name of the known prospects because there may be somebody else that emerges late. But as of now, that's kind of the last thing. And on Wednesday, hopefully we'll have an answer by then and we'll break down the class and we'll look at where the guys went. As it stands today, there are just four players that have transferred from Mississippi State that have not announced their destination of where they're going to end up. And those players are Radar Jones, cornerback that transferred to state from LSU, Christopher Keyes, safety to transfer to state from Indiana, Kevon Lee, who transferred as a running back from Penn State to Mississippi State, and then Amari Smith, who signed with State out of Brookhaven. Pretty good recruiting battle there between State and Ole Miss, but ultimately it went our way. But of the 26 players that were scholarshipped or notable, those are the last four. 22 of the 26 have announced their destination, and we're hopeful that all four of these guys find the destination too as well. We do. We should never harbor any ill will in our hearts for anybody that came in here and wore the uniform. None of these guys ever embarrassed Mississippi State. You know, they represented us with dignity. And so I hope the best for them and they have the opportunity to get their education paid for. I'm sure somebody will take them. It may not be exactly what they want, but the reality of it is free education is a free education. And I think at this point, if you're this deep into the portal recruiting phase and you haven't found a school, you probably understand that the National Football League is likely not in your future. You just need to get serious about getting your education taken care of and get out there, get your degree, get a job. And, you know, be a productive member of society. At some point, we all get cut. And there are a lot of guys that go out there and think, hey, you know, this is what I'm going to get. And you read all this stuff out there. And there's so much of this publicity about NIL deals. It's just, that's not factual. It's not factual. I know people that are negotiating these deals. I know people that are part of this process. And I can tell you that so much of what's reported out there is really like on behalf of agents, right? And so it's like, hey, we have, you know, Stark Villain Agency, and so we may get this kid, you know, a deal of, you know, $500,000. And I'm going to tell the kid, hey, it's like, hey, we did the best we could for you. I'll take a, you know, I just want to do some advertising here and kind of let people know. And so they inflate the deals here. And the kids aren't going to come out and go against their agents and say, hey, he said I got this, but I got this. And so you put that out there. Next thing you know, then the next guy that's looking for an agency is like, hey, well, you know, John Q. Bulldog, he got $500,000 because he went with the Stark Villain agency. I'm going to go with them too. Maybe they can get that for me. You know, that's how things work. I mean, you know how life works. You don't need me to explain it. But nevertheless, by the time we get here Wednesday, hopefully we'll know. We should know by then. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com and you can get a signed copy of The Dude, and all my sports titles are there along with When the Bottom Falls. And certainly come float with us over at True Rest Float Spa of Starville. Float your cares away, whether you have anxiety, depression, or really none of those things. Maybe you just need a break. We may be able to help you. Dial 662-268-7601. Been a very busy stretch after Christmas. And I appreciate your support. So many of you have had a chance to get to know my lovely wife. And you realize, too, that she has never been in my shadow. She is the light to my path in many respects. And she made a comment earlier today, too, about our kids. And I said, you know, one of the things that makes it so great is, you know, when you go out and you marry somebody that's beautiful and brilliant, and you have a good chance to have good-looking and smart kids. That's typically how that works. And also come join us over at jeanspage.com. Again, so much to be excited about. Mississippi State men's and women's basketball pushing toward the NCAA tournament. Baseball will be here soon. And, of course, recruiting. And before you know it, we're going to be in the spring football practice. And you're going to want to know what's going on with our guys. And you're really going to want to know the truth, right? The truth of what's going on in camp. And hopefully we'll open up camp a little more and we'll have a little more viewing periods. That's the hope anyway this year. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.